One of the primary roles of the existing leadership in a church is not just doing ministry. Existing leadership in a church, their role is not just to be doing ministry. One of their primary parts is to be raising up the next generation of leadership. As in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says, entrust or commit to reliable men, women and women, who will also be qualified to teach others. So it's a passing on of that knowledge, but a passing on of the leadership gifting and ability also. In fact, any church that's not raising up the next generation of leadership will be going backwards. In a good, actually in here, you can see the research that has given me a figure here that in a good, healthy suburban church, about 15% of people leave each year. Now, they may be moving interstate or to another area because of their work and have to leave for good, healthy reasons. Some just drop by the wayside and don't go on for God. Others, for different reasons, move elsewhere. And about 15% are going to be replaced each year just to maintain static numbers. It also means that there's got to be new leadership continually rising up, or we'll be going backwards. To go forwards, we need a lot of new leadership. And the emerging generation must continually be empowered. We've taken this up and established an intern program. It's been going about 4 years now. Our interns, most of them have been around their 20s. We've got one guy there in his 40s now. As interns, it's open to right across, where they're doing a study program, they're doing involvement in ministry, and they've got every second Sunday night, they've got a intern session, and then they've got regular personal coaching. It's developing ministry. We've also got a junior interns program going for years 7 and 8. School, years 7 and 8. They have input into their lives and developing them, and their expression of ministry is out helping in the children's ministry. We had a camp yesterday, 24 hours, Friday night, Saturday, and those junior interns are really playing a very significant part in helping to lead our children's ministry. So it doesn't matter what age, it all can be involved. And so what I have on my heart to share with you today is empowering the next generation. If we could turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, empowering the next generation. But 2 Kings chapter 2, it's the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha had followed Elijah around, I think it was about 13 years, from the time he'd initially been anointed to replace Elijah, and he followed him faithfully over the years. And we come to the end of that time period. And it was about the time when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, well, just stay here, I'm going on to Bethel. Elisha's reply was, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets of Bethel came to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yeah, I know. Elisha replied, but don't speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, let's stay here. The Lord sent me on to Jericho. He replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I am not leaving you. So they went on to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know. He replied, but don't speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord sent me to Jordan. Surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left. The two of them walked across on dry ground. Bridge builders would have been in real trouble back in these days. When they crossed, Elijah and Elisha, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what you want me to do for you before I'm taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You've asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be yours. Otherwise, miss out. So they walked along together, talking together. Suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from him, struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He said. And he struck the water, divided to the right and to the left, crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. They went to meet him, bowed to the ground before him. They said, well, look, we your servants have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley. No, Elisha replied, don't send them. But they persisted until he was too ashamed to refuse. So he said, all right, send them. I sent 50 men who searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, didn't I tell you not to go? Told you so. It was a time for change in Israel. And God was about to empower the next generation of leadership. Now, this is not just the principles in here, are not just relevant for the senior leadership. They're applicable for every area of leadership within the local church. And for everyone who wants to be effective in God, anointed and with the authority of the Holy Spirit, then the principles that are contained in this passage are very relevant. Now, Elisha was to become the prophet of Israel in place of Elijah. Elijah had served for many years, but Elisha was the one to take over. But he knew that he needed divine empowering to fulfill the new role that he was about to step into. He wanted a double portion of the spirit that was on Elijah. Elijah had been a mighty prophet, but Elisha was hungry for more. It was a good and a noble thing that he desired. You know, every emerging leader, everyone coming up in the ranks of potential for leadership, you should be desiring to have a greater anointing than one that you step into their place. Southeastern's going incredibly well. There's been tremendous progress forward under the new leadership, Rob Niehaus. And no matter whether it's a church, whether it's in a growth home group or a youth ministry or children's ministry or whatever area, the new generation of leadership should be always looking to gain from the previous generation of leadership and, in fact, gain double the anointing that is upon their life. I breed and show corgi dogs. And when you breed them, you're looking to get the next generation to be a lot better specimens than the previous generation. Now, sometimes that happens, and you've got something that's really good. Other times, it doesn't quite work the way you want it to be, and they're just sold off as pets. Well, leadership emerging in the church. It'll be better than the previous generation. Or else you might just be sold off as pets. How did Elisha get this double portion anointing? How can those who are the emerging generation of leadership today get a greater anointing than those of the previous generation? So they're not dismissed just like pets. Okay, let's have a look. Number one. I will stay closely connected to the previous generation leadership. As they moved from place to place, Elijah was saying to Elisha, you just stay here. The Lord told me to go on to the next place. Elisha's response,
I'm coming with you.
As the Lord lives and as you live, I'm coming with you. He was sticking close to the current leadership, the previous generation leadership in this case, but always stick close to the leaders who are over you now. Stick with the fathers in their spiritual journey, or mothers, and learn how to respond in your spiritual journey. Don't sort of think, oh, I don't need what they had, and I'm going to take my own pathway. Always stick close to the existing generation of leadership so that you can draw from them. If you're going to have that double portion anointing, there are certain experiences then that you must progress and move forward also in sticking close with the older generation of leadership. And I don't say that just in years. I just mean you might be 20 and have been leading something for a period of time, and it's another generation of leadership to come into that area, and you move into another area. So I'm not just talking about age factor. I'm talking about any time of moving in from one area of ministry to another area of ministry. They had to go to... Elijah said to Elisha, stay in Gilgal. Just stay there. That's where Elisha said, no, I'm coming with you. But what does Gilgal represent? In Joshua 5:9, it tells us that today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And that's why the place was called Gilgal, because it sounds like rolled in the Hebrew. Now, when was that statement made? It was after the people of Israel had crossed into the promised land, right on the edge, before they'd started to conquer the promised land. And all of the generation that had been born in the wilderness had not been circumcised. And at Gilgal, they were circumcised, so healed from that. Then the Lord said, I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Well, go back into Genesis chapter 17 and you will find there that circumcision was given as a sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham of descendants and of the land. Now, in Egypt, there were many descendants of Abraham, but they were living as slaves in a foreign land. They were not living in the possession that God had intended for them, the promised land. And here, as they ride on the edge of it, the generation that had been born in the wilderness that had not been circumcised, they were circumcised, and God said, I've rolled away the reproach. Yes, they'd had the descendants, but they hadn't had the land. It's as though God was saying, right, the land's right now before you. It's set apart to you. But it was like a removing of the expression of blame and condemnation and failure and disgrace, living as slaves in Egypt. Do you know, if we're going to move forward in God, if the intentions of God for our lives, out of whatever areas of contribution of ministry, leadership that we're to have, it's very important that that sense of reproach, of failure, of missing the mark is dealt with. If we're going to be able to stand representing the living God, whether it's standing and witnessing to one person or whether it's with crowds, if there's a sense that, oh, you've just been a failure, you're no good. Look, you've just been in slavery and bondage all these years. You've missed the covenant that God intended, the promised land. There's a sense of inadequacy, of not good enough, of failure. But Gilgal represents a rolling away of all of that so that we can stand with a sense of freedom and wholeness before God. Not that we've earned it, not that we've deserved it, not that we're good enough, but by the grace of God. As we've celebrated the communion tonight, this morning, it's the blood of Jesus that washes us. We stand in the grace of God.
knowing that the enemy does not have a legal hold over our lives. We're going to move forward in God, fulfill the intentions of God for our lives, the emerging generation, those who carry the work of God forward. Firstly, it's Gilgal. A removal, a rolling away of all that sense of failure, of missing the mark. Released from it, we can stand with an open heart, looking up to God. And know that the enemy does not have a handle on you. Amen. Amen. Then they went on to Bethel. And again, Elijah said, I'm going on from here, but you stay here in Bethel. Well, they had to be at Bethel. But what does Bethel represent? It's the house of God. It's when Jacob was fleeing away from his home and going to his uncle Laban to save his neck there. He's out sleeping in the desert on the night on his journey. And there's an awesome encounter with the living God there. God speaks to him, ministers to him, but he said, there's an awesome sense of the presence of God. He had an incredible divine encounter, and that's he called that place Bethel, the house of God. The awesome encounter with God. Now, we need to have these times of awesome encounter with God. Friday night, a night of prayer. That's a fantastic opportunity for an awesome encounter with the living God. Just to come and worship and minister to God, open hearts to God. We need times of Bethel. Times where there's just that open response to God. That awesome sense of the presence of God powerfully impacting our lives. That's a good place to stay, amen? Sorry, but you don't stay there. Because Elisha said, when Elijah was going to move on, he said, I'm coming with you. Now, we need the awesome impact of God, the awesome presence of God. But we can't just stay there in that place. Oh, those meetings we had back then and such a time. That was so fantastic. Oh, I wish it was like that now. And we can try to live back in the past. Even though it was incredible, even though it was a mighty move of God. We don't take away from that. They're wonderful, and there need to be regular times of that. But we can't just camp there. Elijah said, God's called me to go into Jericho. Elisha said, I'm not staying here, even though it's awesome. I'm not staying here. I'm coming on with you. I'm moving forward with you. Into Jericho. Jericho was the place of the first great victory as they entered into the promised land. Joshua 6:20. They heard the word of the Lord, the directions the Lord gave them. This great, massive city with these incredible thick walls. The walls are sort of about as thick as this building is wide. Incredible walls up there. So impenetrable. Everything was locked up. Impossible. And yet, if they were going to enter that promised land, they had to capture that city. God said, just march around it. Once a day, 6 days, seventh day, seven times round, give a shout and she'll be right. Naturally thinking, that's crazy stuff. It's impossible. Couldn't happen. But yet God said, they heard the word of God. God said it. We're going to do it. And that's what they did. And on this last day, seventh day, the seventh time around, they go there, go out, shout, and down went those walls. Yeah. It was a place of hearing from God and obeying God and seeing the victories of God. Again, seeing the victories of God is an incredible and wonderful thing. We're going to be the emerging leadership. We need to be seeing the victories of God, hearing God's word, obeying God's word. Yeah, it's a church, yes, and our personal lives. Hearing what God has got to say about a situation from his word and obeying it, responding to it. It's not much good just hearing it and saying, well, yeah, that's a good thing, that's great. Going on doing something opposite. It's hearing, doing God's word. And you'll see victories, great victories. And so they came to this place of victory. But even there, when Elijah said, I'm going on, you stay here, Elisha, in this place of victory. I'm coming with you. I like victory, but I'm not just going to stay there. I've had victory. I'm going to have victories, but I'm not just staying there. I'm camping. Not camping there. I'm going on. They came to the Jordan. The Jordan represents very much a death to self. The cross, consecration. And it was the gateway into the promised land. And it was like, as they entered, crossed over into the promised land there, it was like a cutting off of the past. And it's at the cross we cut off the past. This is similar in some ways to Gilgal, but it's different. And it's a greater depth. Knowing us crucified. Not only Jesus crucified for us, but us crucified. Death to our own desires, our own wants. Laying down our life for him. So it's interesting to note here that in verse 7, there was a company of 50 of the prophets. They stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Here's a group of 50 prophets who could have known the mighty anointing of God, and yet they're standing at a distance watching. They're not getting in there with the action. They're just standing back, looking. They could have been greatly anointed leaders, but they were holding back from death to self. Their own desires, their own wants. Now, to those who are in the existing level of leadership, at whatever level it may be within the church, the fathers or the mothers, whatever level it may be. If the sons or the daughters coming up are going to stay closely connected to you, then you better stay closely connected to the Lord. Amen? Okay, so our first point here was that if we're going to move forward into the anointing, being the empowered generation, I will stay closely connected to the previous generation leadership. Secondly, I will discern the times of transition and I will wait for God's timing. At both Bethel and Jericho, verses 3 and verses 5, the company of the prophets, the emerging generation of leadership, they were able to discern correctly that Elisha was about to replace Elijah as the prophet of the nation. And Elisha knew they were right. He said, yes, I know. Yes, I know. But he was also aware of the danger of the corrupt human nature that will grasp for position for themselves. Emerging leaders will have a sense of godly understanding, godly discernment. And then, because of that, I will remove all self-seeking ambition. I will remove all self-seeking ambition. Again, when Elisha said, yes, I know, but he said, but don't speak of it. Yes, I know, but don't speak of it. I'm not grasping after something. It's like a rebuke to zealous impatience or an attitude of self-seeking ambition starting to creep in. One of the great dangers of emerging leaders is their tendency to be impatient with existing leaders and just wanting to go do things their own way. Being up in PNG recently and talking with a number of the leaders there, there's been an issue that's been quite prominent in recent times, that very gifted, charismatic, gifted young ministries have reacted against some of the senior leaders there. And they don't need the senior ones, the previous generation of leadership. They're better themselves and they can go and do it all themselves. And the tragedy has been that people with great potential in ministry, ones who have been rising and doing some great stuff in God, have crashed badly and dropped right out of the scene in many cases because they weren't willing to follow these steps through, follow the existing leadership, stay closely to them and learn and find God's timing rather than their selfish ambition, egotism and so on. So if we don't need them, we're better than them. And off they sailed for a time because they were very gifted people. But they've crashed badly. They're doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Then number four, I will continue to move forward under the Father's anointing. Verse 8. This is where Elijah rolled up his cloak, flicked the water, and the waters divided and they went across. Now, it still needed Elijah's anointing for the water to open up. Elisha's anointing was not up to that at this stage. He wasn't there yet. And if we precipitate change ahead of the divine timetable, we will not have the anointing needed for the job. The anointing and the authority stay with the existing leader until God's timing for change. That's why the impetuous emerging leader often fails, because they don't have, the anointing hasn't been transferred by God yet, and they miss out. And the right timing in God, that anointing will be transferred, but the wrong timing, it's not there. And just thinking of different examples where we've seen both as those who lag behind and don't step up when they should, and there's those who want to push ahead and push out the existing leader. And they don't have the anointing to carry that through into his real effectiveness. Number five, I know God will initiate the timing for change. God will initiate the timing. Verse 11 and 12, they're walking together. Then God stepped in, the chariots of fire and the horses of fire appear and take Elijah up in the whirlwind. Wasn't a coup from underneath. Wasn't pushing aside somebody. But it was a divine timing. And you know, it wasn't Elijah just saying, oh, well, I've had enough of this, I'm getting out of this, or anything like that. He followed through until God just took him up, moved him into a different realm. And you don't resign from leadership. You're involved in leadership under a calling of God. Now, whether it's to be a deacon, whether it's to be Sunday school teacher or a youth leader or a home group leader, whatever area of leadership, you don't resign from that. If there's a calling in God, you don't resign from that. Now, your leadership role may change, but you don't. If there's a calling to be serving God, that calling's there for your life. Now, the roles may change. You're stepping into areas of other influence and so on. But you don't resign from being involved in serving in leadership. You know, what is it if you resign from life? What's that? Death? By how? Basically, suicide. If you resign from life, well, it's maybe saying it a bit rugged, but you resign from serving God, some form of serving leadership, that's a bit like the same thing. Now, as Lois has shared, we've changed roles from 37 years as senior minister, founding Warrigal and 7 years there, and then founding Southeastern and 30 years there. Our roles have changed now, but we're still under the Master's service and fulfilling that. It's fascinating too here how those who understood what God was doing, it was the time of change, they could say to Elisha, you know, that your master's going, you're going to be the prophet. But then, when Elijah's gone up, verse 16 to 18, they want to send out 50 people to go and search for Elijah. Maybe the Lord who took him up just dropped him somewhere. Couldn't do the job properly and just left him there. So these people who understood the times in God, yet they couldn't trust that God could do what he'd said he was going to do. And so they pester Elisha so much that he feels guilty about it. And say, oh, well, okay, send him out and have a look. See if he can find him somewhere. They come back 3 days later and say, oh, no, he's gone. He's not there. Told you so. Sort of got that little bit of not too much graciousness about it. Number six, I know the double portion anointing and authority will come from God at the right time if I follow the divine pathway. Elisha had asked for that double portion anointing. And then we find after he'd picked up the mantle that had fallen, the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, he goes back, rolls it up. Where's the God of Elijah? Touches the water with the cloak. Waters part, and the people around recognize that the anointing that was on Elijah has now come to rest on Elisha. And in fact, it was a double portion anointing, and you get double the miracles and everything else in Elisha's life as you read through the scriptures there. This morning, too, those of you who are in some areas of leadership responsibility within the church, keep moving forward in that. Keep stepping forward. Keep moving in God. And prepare the emerging generation of leaders under you. You're not there just to be doing ministry. You're there to be also developing others under you. And prepare that emerging generation of leaders for the time when God will anoint them and give them spiritual authority to move forward. To those of you who are the emerging leaders, and again, you may be involved in one area of leadership and yet you are emerging for another area of leadership responsibility. Maybe you're not in any area of leadership now, but maybe you are, and it's God preparing you for further levels of responsibility in that. You're responsible to position yourself, to respond to God. Learn to be available for God's timing. Not pushing ahead, but not dragging behind either. Now, as I was preparing and just looking to the Lord about this, I sense that what God
is doing in the church here is stirring up, there's a stirring of the Holy Spirit for people to step up into new levels of leadership. That's what I sense God is doing here. Now, I've not talked with Chris about any of this. I did just talk with John and Pat and said, have your handover roles, just as we were just before the service. And they said, well, there's others going to have to take up things next year. But I'd sensed this last night as I was preparing about this very clearly, that there's a stirring of the Spirit for people to step up into new levels of leadership, to greater responsibilities. For some, it'll be increased responsibilities. For others, it'll be new involvement of getting into some area of leadership. Some are desirous of leadership positions, but maybe wanting to skip some of the development experiences along the way. But you have to progress through these, through Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho and Jordan. They're important in our development. You have to follow the pathway, or else you won't get to the fulfillment of God's intention for you. I think one guy had an hour assembly 20 years back. He was like a lightning rod to prophetic ministries. Every prophetic ministry that came into the place talk about the leadership potential that was within him. And yet 20 years later, none of that's realized at all. He'd left for quite a while. He's back around sort of nowadays. But none of that potential has been realized. Why? Because he dodged all the steps of progression for development that were necessary. And he's never achieved a thing in the kingdom of God. We don't want to be like that. We want to move through our Gilgals, our Bethel, at Gilgal, knowing the sense of that freedom in God, the reproach rolled away so we can stand with a freedom before God. At Bethel, the old times of awesome presence of God, divine impact upon us. Jericho's victory, hearing a word from God, bang, seeing the victories take place. And now Jordan was not only sacrificed for us, but us crucified. Our desires, our wants crucified Christ. Maybe there are some who are holding back from what God intends you to step into. So there's a sense that there's a stirring of the Spirit for people to rise in leadership. Maybe you're sort of, oh, not me, that's for that person or that person. Yeah, you give the one next to you a nudge and that's for them. No, it's for you.